Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Husband!
Wife!
Do you know what we're doing today?
Well, yesterday we did 2 Maccabees chapter 13.
Sure as fuck did.
Which, in that one, we had a guy that didn't get along with the other Greek people so much, and so they threw him into a giant ash tower.
Oh, and burn
his ass.
Yeah, the ash tower, tower of ash.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you burning bright for me.
And then there was 110,000 troops that went for Antiochus or somebody, and they had 22 elephants because the other one died, remember?
Yeah, because it pulled the tower over.
Yeah, yeah.
But and not the Tower of Ash, maybe not, a different tower?
Some tower. I don't know. It died.
Okay.
It's dead now. Actually, they're all dead now.
Well, yeah.
But, you know, that's a whole other story. Mm-hmm. but anyway, and then at some point, there was a long run-on sentence that solved all the problems, and now they're peaceful.
It was like,
or something.
And then World War II happened, and then the soldiers came home, and then this happened, and then that happened,
yeah.
And then Trump became president.
Exactly.
And it was like, whoa, slow down.
It totally made no sense.
It told, 10 years of history in, one sentence,
yeah.
Which I know that I just skipped from World War II to Trump in less than one sentence, but that's how it felt. You have to tell more things, and you need more sentences for all the things.
Definitely, definitely.
You can't just jump from breakfast to next Wednesday.
So it was a bit of a whirlwind. It was a bit confusing, and then that would, but that was 2 Maccabees chapter 13.
Yes, it surely was.
It was, which means that today we're doing
2 Maccadoodles chapter 14.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie. Alrighty, so we are hopping into 2 Maccadoodles chapter 14.
Okay.
That means that this is the penultimate chapter of 2 Maccadoodles.
Okay.
Because the ultimate next one.
This is the ultimate, so it's the penultimate.
It's the second to last.
Got it.
Which is the penultimate.
I got it. I get it now.
Do you?
Yeah. For some reason, I thought penultimate was the top one, though. I don't know why. That was just I don't use penultimate enough to,
That would be a flammable and inflammable. Both mean the same thing.
Right.
And it's so just you're thinking that ultimate and penultimate mean the same thing?
No, no. I just don't use that term enough to know for sure.
Got it.
Where it falls in usage. So I have heard the term before, but that's about as much as I could say.
Okay. Yeah, it's second to last. It's not quite the ultimate.
Got it. Yeah. Okay? I'm just stupid, that's all.
I did not say that. And today, right now, I wouldn't say that. But sometimes I would.
Sure, sure.
I started to say I wouldn't say that, but sometimes you are stupid, and sometimes I do call you stupid.
I don't find enough usage for the word penultimate in my daily
every time we read a book of the Bible, and we get to the second to last chapter.
You sure about that?
I'm not saying I always
need
do
some
it.
Fact checkers here.
No, I'm not saying I always do it. I'm saying that's an opportunity to do it.
It is an opportunity to do it, yeah.
So you have more than a zero opportunity to use second to last.
Yeah, I just choose not to.
Because you're stupid. And there it is. 3 years later.
3 years.
3 years later.
After all that peace, after
all
that
the
sentence,
elephants and whatever.
That sentence caused 3 years of later.
Mm-hmm. News was brought to Judas and his company that Demetrius, the son of Seleucus, having sailed into the harbor of Tripolis,
tripping over your words.
No. I was referring to the Daffy Duck and I think it's Porky Pig, and it's when they do the Robin Hood one And Daffy Duck is like using his sword thing and he's going, parry duck, parry stab, you know, and he goes through this whole litany of, I clearly don't know about fencing.
Yeah, right, right.
But he goes through this whole litany of fencing vocabulary and then he always ends up smacking his own bill in the face, making his bill go up 90 degrees.
I remember that.
Okay. So in that particular one, sometimes when he's doing his thrust, parry, whatever, and then he trips and he goes, and chip, and chip, and chip, 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 chip. And it's just funny.
I don't recall that, but I'm sure you're right.
I am right. I'm 100% right.
I said I was sure you're right.
So anyways, having sailed into the harbor of Tripolis.
Yeah.
With a mighty army and a fleet, had taken possession of the country, having made away with Antiochus and his guardian Lysias.
He made away with them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not sure if that means he made them dead or if he made them demoted. I'm guessing them these times is probably dead.
He probably deaded them. He deaded them.
Yeah.
He deaded them. But one Alcimus who had, I think I called him Albus Dumbledore. Alcimus. But one Alcimus who had formerly been high priest and had willfully polluted himself in the times when there was no mingling with the Gentiles, considering that there was no deliverance for him in any way, nor any more access to the holy altar, came to King Demetrius in about the 151st year, presenting to him a crown of gold and a palm, and beside these, some of the festive olive boughs of the temple.
Okay.
For that, these sentences are too long, and they're carrying too many activities in them, you know?
Sure, yeah.
Like, I can't follow.
When he said he polluted himself with the Gentiles, does that mean he had sex with them? Like, what do you suppose that means?
He probably hung out with them and adopted their ways and became unclean because he was probably engaging in some of their religious practices, and he was acting like them instead of doing his own thing.
Okay.
That's my guess. And he may have been fucking them as well. I wouldn't doubt it. But I think it probably refers more to the social and religious pollution.
Got it.
Because that's what these books seem to really, really focus on.
Right.
You know, don't carry a shira poles in your pocket and shit like that.
Yeah.
Never fuck under the Christmas tree.
Correct. Sure.
Or in the high places.
Yeah. Especially those.
Right. For that day, he held his peace. But having gotten opportunity to further his own madness, being called by Demetrius into a meeting of his council, and asked how the Jews stood affected and what they intended, he answered thus.
Okay.
Okay, ready?
Here's
his answer.
All right.
Quote, those of the Jews called Hasadeans, whose leader is Judas Maccabeus, keep up war and are seditious, not allowing the kingdom to find tranquility. No, I mean, it's true.
Sure.
They were like,
they started
fights.
Trying to gain land.
Instead of just being happy.
Right.
They always had to have more.
Yeah.
And they were corrupt.
I mean, it seems that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Therefore, having laid aside my ancestral glory, this dude continues, I mean, the high priesthood, I have now come here, first for the genuine care I have for the things that concern the king. Anytime you have to say out loud that you have genuine care for things that concern the king, it's almost certain that you don't have care for things that concern the king. And secondly, because I have regard also to my own fellow citizens. I don't think he cares for either the king or the citizens.
You don't think so?
No. No, because you're spelling it out too much. I don't believe you.
All right.
For through the unadvised dealing of those of whom I spoke before, our whole race is in no small misfortune. O king, having informed yourself of these things, take thought both for our country and for our race, which is surrounded by enemies, according to the gracious kindness with which you receive all.
Okay.
Do you understand what's happening at all?
So he's referring to Judas Maccabeus as like not great. Like, yeah. He's, you know what I'm saying? So like, I feel like this is, and they mentioned that he had been consorting or doing something with the Gentiles or whatever. So like, this mm-hmm. is one of the people that Judas Maccabeus and that group would have referred to as like not good. Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I'm feeling about it. I don't know if this is true or not, but this okay. is where I'm, this is what I'm gathering.
Okay.
And so he's pleading with this King Demetrius, right, for him to intervene so that he can get his priesthood back. And he brought Demetrius gifts to try to get his control back of what's going okay. on. That's okay. what it feels like to me.
When sentences are too long, like I'm concentrating on making the sentence sound good out loud.
Yeah.
And when they're too long, I can't retain what I'm saying.
To be fair, I'm not sure I'm right. I'm just, okay. that's so far what I've
I'm just letting you know, this, like, so. I can't pay attention to what I'm
it.
Reading.
I got it, yeah.
So hopefully.
Hopefully I get it.
Hopefully it's you get it. Me. But regardless, we will cover it in the Q&A.
We will.
These sentences are entirely too long.
They are.
For as long as Judas remains alive, it is impossible for the government to find peace. Okay, I followed that one.
Yeah. See, that kind of strengthens my stance here.
Yeah. When he had spoken such words as these, at once the rest of the king's friends, having ill will against Judas, inflamed Demetrius yet more.
Mm.
He immediately appointed Nicanor, who had been master of the elephants, and made him governor of Judea. Oh, the elephant captain got to go be...
master of Judea?
Yeah, he got to go be a governor. That's sure. cute.
Yeah.
Like, elephants, kingdoms, whatever.
Right, right.
He sent him out. He sent him.
Yeah. Demetrius sent Nicanor.
No, I know. It just, right. it annoys me when they do that.
Absolutely.
When they do that. Giving him written instructions to kill Judas himself and to scatter those who were with him. And to set up Alcimus as high priest of the great temple.
See, he's buying his favor, right? He's like, hey, this guy sucks. You need to put me in charge. I'll be cool. And mm-hmm. me and Nicanor, we're going to get along.
And can we keep the elephants? I know that had to be in there somewhere.
Right, yeah.
Those in Judea who had driven Judas into exile thronged to Nicanor in flocks. They thronging does happen in flocks.
Yeah.
That's the only way, really, that you can throng is in flocks.
Generally speaking, yeah.
I like how you can flock to something and you can do it in flocks. So it can be like the name of a group, but also a verb that's grouping.
Yeah. Or a name of a person on Enterprise.
Oh, Dr. Phlox.
Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah, that is true. You can also decorate your Christmas tree by flocking it.
Hmm. Yeah. Okay.
That's usually when you put like snow and shit on it.
Is it?
Flock the tree. Yeah.
No, I've never heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. You sure that's what it's called?
I'm pretty sure.
For trimming the tree, I've heard.
That's decorating it, yeah. But I think when you put like snow and shit on it, that's when you're flocking it.
Hmm. Never heard that before.
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Like, I'm sure somebody will let me know that I have no fucking idea.
Somebody will let you know you're,
that
always happens.
I love when that happens, honestly, because it proves people are listening. Tell me if I'm right that you can flock a tree.
We have a whole section on our Discord dedicated to telling us that we're wrong. So, not that people use it enough.
But they should.
They should.
They should always be telling me all the ways that I'm wrong.
Right.
Supposing that the misfortunes and calamities of the Jews would be successes to themselves.
Okay.
But when the Jews heard of Nicanor's advance and the assault of the heathen, they sprinkled dirt on their heads and made solemn prayers to him who had established his own people forevermore.
Okay.
And who always, making manifest his presence, upholds those who are his own heritage.
We're talking about God.
Yahweh, specifically.
Just double checking here.
I'm not going to say God anymore because that's too generic. I'm going to say Yahweh because other people have their own God.
It's true.
And they're
why diminish their God just because they like to call him God?
Yeah, this is Yahweh that they're talking about.
Yeah.
They sprinkle dirt on their head because they always be rolling in the dirt.
Right.
And then being and
there's
like,
usually sackcloths involved too.
Yahweh, help me.
And torn clothes.
Oh yeah, they tear clothes. Their hair out sometimes.
Yeah, that too.
When the leader had given orders, he immediately set out from there and joined battle with them at a village called Lesaw. But Simon, the brother, Simon says?
Maybe, yeah.
The brother of Judas had encountered Nicanor, yet not till late, having been delayed by reason of the sudden consternation caused by his adversaries.
Okay.
Nevertheless, Nicanor, hearing of the valor of those who were with Judas and of their courage in fighting for their country, shrank from bringing the matter to the decision of the sword. He was afraid.
He's like, these fuckers are not.
They keep dying.
You guys came up here before like 110,000. No, I'm not doing this.
They don't care about elephants.
Right. Yeah.
They'll kill my ass.
Right.
Their Yahweh seems to like them sometimes. Not always, but when he does, it's really good. I mean,
seems that way. Yeah.
Yeah. Therefore, he sent Posidonius. Oh, I like that one. Posidonius, Theodotus, and Mattathias.
Okay.
To give and receive pledges of friendship.
Hmm. He's like, if you can't beat them,
then give them shit. and drown their wives? Question mark.
Well, that was before.
I know, but I'm like,
those people that did that are dead now.
Right, but it could happen again.
It could.
And
it's in the playbook. Yeah.
Yeah. So when these proposals had long been considered, So when these proposals had been long considered, and the leader had made the troops acquainted with them, and it appeared that they were all of like mind, they consented to the covenants. They appointed a day on which to meet together by themselves.
Okay.
A chariot came forward from each army. Whee! I rode my little chariot. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Da-da-da-da-da. Da-na-na-na-na. Da-da-da-da. That's Chariots of Fire.
Yeah, yeah.
That's that song.
I'm imagining the scene from Postman.
That's not in the Postman.
What? Where they ride out and meet and the two horses and
I was saying chariots like that music.
No.
That music is not in
the scene itself.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Reminds me of the postman.
Yeah. They set up seats of honor. Judas stationed armed men ready in convenient places, lest perhaps there should suddenly be treachery on the part of the enemy.
Well, yeah, you gotta be prepared.
I mean, I hate it when there's treachery on the part of the enemy.
Yeah, but it seems like it happens a lot.
I mean, pretty much that's what makes them your enemy is that they're always treacherous.
Really, it's just about who's going to be treacherous first.
Yeah.
You know?
That is true.
Yeah.
Because if you weren't enemies, neither of you would be treacherous to the other.
Right.
You could work your shit out.
There'd be no need for treachery.
You couldn't call each other enemies.
Right. It'd be treacherous.
It'd be people
treacherous.
It would just be people that have different perspectives and disagree.
Right.
We both like ice cream, but some of us want to kill brown people and some of us don't. when I hear people say, Jesus. Can't we all just get along and admit that we have a difference of opinion on things? Right. I always think of that. Like, we both like ice cream, but some of us like to kill brown people and some of us don't. It's just a difference of opinion.
You know what I really hate? I fucking hate the All Lives Matter shit. I'm like, oh, do they? Then let's act like it.
That is so cool how suddenly you think that trans people deserve to live.
Right,
oh, my God.
That's awesome of you.
Wow. Okay. Neat.
Yeah.
And I'm like, clearly they don't all matter, you fuckface.
Right.
And like, when we say Black Lives Matter, we're saying that they should, but you clearly think they don't. Like, way to miss the message.
Right.
God. Sometimes I hate, you know?
Oh, yeah. I know.
Like, just stupidity and malice, and sometimes the stupidity is so stupid, but other times, like, the malice is not stupid but pretends to be, and I really hate that.
You know what I think is really funny is how often we delve into current politics talking about the Bible.
Well, I mean, it was because we were talking about treachery.
No, I know. But I'm just, there's so many opportunities because it is just basically a political story, essentially.
No, it's true. It's like, true.
There's so many opportunities to jump into what is current based on what we're reading. So
just hug a Nazi. Can't we all be friends? Come on. God. Like, I was getting yelled at in early days when the racists started coming out. Like louder. I mean, the races have always been out, but when they started coming out louder, like during the Obama campaign, that's when they got real loud. That's when they got real just, oh, we're just out there now.
Yeah.
And people would be saying, can't we all just get along and find common ground and we just listen to each other? And I was the one always saying, yeah, you just want me to hug a Nazi. And everybody was like, whoa, you're like going really far. And like, that's a bit over the top. And and now I'm just like, was it though? Was I saying too much? Did I go too far? Because it looks to me like now I wasn't saying it enough.
Right, right.
Like, let's go back in time and then I can be like, I've seen the future and the future is that you literally still want me to hug a Nazi. But now you actually acknowledge that they are Nazis.
Right.
They were always Nazis and you always wanted me to hug them. And now finally you admit that they're Nazis. But you're not sure we should hug them anymore. And that's kind of cool of you, I guess. But you're giving me the, can we go now? I really hate this timeline.
Sure.
This timeline really makes me angry.
Yeah, it's way too orange.
Yeah, and also it's the timeline where being right doesn't pay off. Like, yay, I was right that they were Nazis. Like, oh, wait, that's not good. I wish I was wrong. Okay. Anyways, they held a conference as was appropriate.
Okay. I mean, sure.
That sentence is funny to me. I mean, was it appropriate to hold a conference? I don't know.
They said it was, so it is.
You know how it's appropriate to hold a conference? Yeah. So that's what they did then.
I mean, a conference could be just like
a meeting. A
couple of people. Yeah. I mean, it was a meeting. There's nothing special about that.
Nicanor waited in Jerusalem and did nothing to cause disturbance, but dismissed the flocks of people that had gathered together.
Okay.
He kept Judas always in his presence. He had gained a hearty affection for the man.
Hmm.
He urged him to marry and have children. He married, settled quietly, and took part in common life.
This is not working out well for the guy that came to Demetrius. The guy, like, he was the priest person, right? And he was like, hey, I'm going to totally get you them. Need to get rid of this guy and put me in. And now Nicanor's there like, hey, buddy, Judas, what's up, man?
Like, I just wanted to play with the elephants after all. I didn't know. Shit. But Alcimus, perceiving the goodwill that was between them and having taken possession.
Here it is.
Of the covenants that had been made, came to Demetrius and told him that Nicanor was disloyal to the government. He's like, this guy over here, he's being friends with the treacherous enemy.
He's not giving me my power. He needs to kill Judas. Yeah.
All the Maccabeuses. Right.
What the fuck, man?
For he had appointed that conspirator against his kingdom, Judas, to be his successor. Oh, Nicanor is like, bestie.
Right.
And then...
he just didn't want to fight him because Judas is like, I'll whip your ass, man.
I will kill your ass hard. Right? And, and Demetrius... Oh, wait, no. Who is it? Alcimus is like, hold on. You could be scared of the enemy, but you can't get to be besties with him.
Well, look, that's what I was saying before, though. They've gone against Judas with 110,000 people and turned their army around because he was kicking their ass.
Mm-hmm.
Did they send this guy with 110,000 people? They didn't say anything about 110,000 people.
No, they just sent him.
So my guess is that dude got there and he's like, yeah, we're not going to,
I'm not shaking this.
I don't get paid enough. Shit. This fucking
This
sucks.
Is above my pay grade. But here's the thing though. He didn't just like sit there quietly. He is besties with them and is like, you are going to be my successor. Yay. Everybody get along and let's partay.
Well, it's in his best interest. So he doesn't, die.
But did he have to go to the family barbecue, though?
I don't know.
Because that's what it sounds like. He's hanging out with him on weekends and, like, they're going to, like, you know, football games together and stuff.
Right, yeah.
Like, oh, guess what? I got tickets to the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. The king falling into a rage because he's like, you didn't kill his ass, motherfucker. And being hold on. My mouth accidentally failed tripped. It you? Failed, yes. The king falling into a rage and being exasperated. I wanted to say exacerbated. And that is not correct. Being exasperated by the false accusations of that most wicked man, wrote to Nicanor, and he's like, my dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Signifying that he was displeased at the covenants and commanding him to send Maccabeus prisoner to Antioch in all haste.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. He's like, asshole, get it together. Remember who you are.
Right.
Remember who I am.
Yeah.
And let's get this party rolling the right way.
Right.
When this message came to Nicanor, he was confounded. Huh? Me? What? I thought I was supposed to be besties with him. I forgot you want me to kill him.
Right.
Could have waited till I got tickets. He gave me tickets to the game. And was very troubled at the thought of annulling the articles that had been agreed upon. The man having done no wrong. This is so confusing. But because there was no opposing the king, he watched his time to execute this purpose by strategy. But Maccabeus, when he perceived that Nicanor was behaving more harshly in his dealings with him, you didn't cheer at the touchdown like you used to do. I bought you a beer and you didn't drink it.
Yeah, what's up, man?
Like, what's going on? I can tell something's wrong.
Right.
What's the matter?
Yeah.
And that he had become ruler in his customary bearing, understanding that this harshness came not of good, gathered together for not a few of his men and concealed himself from Nicanor. My bestie's not the same, so I'm going to stop hanging out with him for a while.
Yeah.
I feel like he put on his robe and his crown and
sound like Maccabeus is pretty smart.
It sounds like he's smart and strong and is able to gather loyal followers to him.
Right.
But the other, Nicanor, when he became aware that he had been bravely defeated by the strategy of Judas, Nicanor's like, God, I didn't even say or do anything. And he just knows. He just knows. How am I supposed to kill this guy?
Right.
Ugh. Came to the great and holy temple while the priests were offering the usual sacrifices and commanded them to hand over the man. Oh, I'm here to pick up my bestie for the football game. Could you bring him out?
Now.
When they declared with oaths that they had no knowledge where the man was whom he sought.
Oh, he must have caught a ride without you, so yeah, I'm real sorry. He ain't here.
Right.
He stretched out his right hand toward the sanctuary and swore this oath. If you won't deliver up to me, Judas, as a prisoner, my ride to the football game, I will level this temple of God even with the ground, break down the altar, and I will erect here a temple to Dionysus for all to see, and I will kick a football right through your fucking face. That's what he said.
That's. I feel like some of that was not.
All of the football things are things that I added, but I feel like he could have said it.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And having said this, he departed.
Okay.
He's like,
he's serious.
Fuck you all. I'm leaving.
Right.
But the priests, stretching forth their hands toward heaven, called upon him who has always fights for our nation. You know, Yahweh.
Right, right.
In these words said, you, O Lord of the universe, who in yourself have need of nothing, were well pleased that a sanctuary of your habitation should be set among us. So now, O Holy Lord of all holiness, keep undefiled forever this house that has been recently cleansed, and fuck this football guy forever. I added that last bit.
Yeah, no, I know.
Now, information was given to Nicanor against one Razis.
Against one what?
against this guy, Razis.
Okay.
Razis.
Sure.
Razis. Oh, how would you say it?
That's fine.
R-A-Z-I-S. How would you say it?
Razis.
Razis. Okay.
But this is a new name, though, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Information was given to Nicanor against this dude, Razis, an elder of Jerusalem, who was a lover of his countrymen and a man of very good report, and one called Father of the Jews for his goodwill.
Okay.
So he's like old man Pappy.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
He's like the neighborhood chess guy that sits out in the park and shakes his fist at the clouds and says, back in my day, football wasn't such a big fucking deal. For in the former times, when there was no mingling with the Gentiles, he had been accused of following the Jews' religion and had risked body and life with all earnestness for the religion of the Jews.
Okay.
Nicanor, wishing to make evident the ill will that he bore against the Jews, sent above 500 soldiers to seize him.
Damn.
You sent 500 soldiers to pick up old Pappy.
Well, I mean, that's just to make sure that nobody else, like no other force stopped them
from doing it. Right. I'm just saying, it's a bit of an overkill. It's like sending ICE to pick up.
I was
going to
say, that's exactly what it is. They're showing a show of force.
It's a show of force. Why are they sending the ICE contingent into the airports in New York? I could not tell you why. I can. I can tell you why. It's not to help TSA.
No.
It's to further instill fear and intimidation.
Right.
It's a tactic.
Yeah.
It's obvious. Why are we pretending we don't know the answer to that question? Why is the news like, why are they doing this? What could they possibly do? They are not trained in the TSA ways.
Well, they aren't allowed to say what's really happening because then they get their fucking licenses taken away.
Right. I know that. But it's just so annoying that they're like, I don't know why. And they scratch their heads and saying, we know why, but we're not allowed to say.
Luckily, we don't need a license. We just get on in our dining room and
in our pajamas.
Say whatever the fuck we want.
And we're like, fuck ICE.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, if you were coming after us, you'd already be coming after us. So I'll say it again for those in the back. Fuck ICE, ICE, ICE.
Right.
For he thought by seizing him, the old man Pappy, to inflict an injury on them. But when the troops were at the point of taking the tower and were forcing the door of the court and asked for fire to burn the doors, he, being surrounded on every side, fell upon his sword, choosing rather to die nobly than to fall into the hands of the wicked wretches and suffer outrage unworthy of his own nobleness.
Made himself a martyr.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
Razis. Man. Yeah. It sounds very reminiscent of the Seven Brothers. Although Seven Brothers in that other chapter, they went through torture rather than eat pork and defame their own religion.
Sure.
Like, they're like, I stand by my religion. And this guy's like, I stand by my people and my who I am. I'm not going to let you catch me.
Right.
And these are supposed to be like role models. This is what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to endure torture. You're supposed to kill yourself before getting caught. Okay, this is the way.
This is
the noble, right, Jewish way.
I don't suggest this way.
No. But what I'm saying is, this is what these stories are doing, though.
Yeah.
These stories are telling the Jews of this time period what you're supposed to do, guys.
Self-sacrifice,
noble death, martyr yourself. You'll be rewarded in the afterlife. It's better to die by your own hand than be caught by the bad guys.
Yeah.
Always, always be ready to never be happy and just live.
No, religion has often been used as a guise to get people to act stronger during times of conflict.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's a way to embolden people to do things that are against their nature. Like
against
you're
their
killing
own self-protection.
Yourself is, dying is against your nature, you know, like that's not what people want to do. So they have to have a reason in their mind that is valid, you know, like they have to murder yourself. Right. Yeah. If God is the reason, then you at least have that reason, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. You'll be remembered forever, ever, ever.
I don't even know that these stories are actually real. Like they could be. probably are somewhat at least embellished.
To, I mean, some of the history happened.
Yeah, no, the history happened. But like this second book of Maccabees was written at a different time frame than the first Maccabees, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And some of these martyrdom things that are happening throughout the book seem a little embellished and seem sprinkled out throughout this book in order to rally the troops.
Yes.
You know, like get them to feel very spiritual towards, like they want their people to be willing to die for their God. Mm-hmm. So that they're saying these things on purpose to embolden their people.
I mean, it's
whether they happen or not.
It's kind of funny that back then and today, if you can encourage people to die for God, because nobody's going to just die for land or oil, right? But if you say it's a religious war, a holy war, you're dying for God, then you can get people kind of excited to martyr themselves.
Right.
And I mean, that's what's happening today with, you know, Pete Hegseth and his cronies.
No, they're definitely like
turning the whole war in Iran into a holy war.
Building religion into any political system definitely gives you an angle to lean on that you wouldn't have had otherwise.
Because God wants this.
Right.
And everybody knows God doesn't specifically want land or oil or money, right? I mean, he does because we do, right? Like we, the leaders, the corrupt leaders who are, you know, calling for war, we want these things, but, you know, we can't talk other people, the ones that are actually fighting the war for us, the ones at sword point or gun point.
Right.
We have to give them a reason, and God is always a good reason. So let's tell them God wants this. Everybody will die for God.
Yeah. I mean, quite simply, in my mind, I have always thought of God as a political tool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just what it is.
Best case scenario, God can be useful as a social tool for helping everybody have a common morals and cause.
Idealistically, yes, it can best be a case. Good social tool. But
generally, when you can't trust the masses to wash their hands.
Right. But generally speaking, it gets co-opted into worse political affiliations.
That's because even in a best case scenario, you're still a leader using a religious symbol to scare people into doing what's right rather than trusting that they might figure it out if you just explain it to them.
Or trusting that reason and logic will win the day. Mm-hmm. You can't, when you're talking about things that don't make sense, you have to invoke a God or else you can't do them. You know, like otherwise you have to prove your point.
I mean, to some
degree, it's a shortcut to doing what you want.
It's to some degree, okay, this gets into a different topic, but to some degree, it's not that they're wrong because like people are much more likely to buckle up because the fear of getting caught by police and getting ticketed and paying a fine, that is scarier and badder and worser than the fear of if I don't buckle up, I might die and I might kill other people in the car and I might, my body like flying around might cause my car to crash into other people and kill other people.
Like you said, that's why we have laws. The penalties do keep people from doing bad things.
But people are following the rules, the laws, whatever.
For the wrong reasons.
For the wrong reasons. Because to some degree, you can't trust the masses to make proper decisions. So to some degree, that's what I'm saying. To some degree, the leaders aren't always wrong to put a God in the case of the example I use, the God is the money.
Right. But you have to hope that the leaders invoke those gods in a in a manner that is congruent with, you know, the right thing to do.
I think in a civilized society where you have to have everybody has to trust that their neighbors will all behave a certain way, we have to have some kind of trickery in order to make the society behave, whether that's God or fear of a fine.
I guess I just wish that our trickery leaned heavier into education and logic and reason.
Right.
Like that to me would solve most of the problem because if we all could think logically and reasonably, then we would have better discussions. We would make better decisions. We would do things in a better manner than we currently do them because we would all be thinking in a more productive way.
I mean, if our education system was better, then we wouldn't have to trick the people. We could just tell them why to buckle up, and yeah, they would understand, and they would not be so, like, American individualistic. Nobody's going to tell me to buckle up.
Right. No.
Oh, I could risk my own life if I want to. Yes, thank you for that, and I appreciate that you are a rugged American individual, but did you think of all of the other people you're putting at risk and all the people who you are having clean up the mess of your body scraped across the highway? Like, go you. How's that working right out for yeah you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Education would be great.
It would. It
would. And I would love if our money went toward that.
I agree.
But since he was missing his stroke through the excitement of the struggle and the crowds were now rushing within the door, he ran bravely up to the wall and cast himself down bravely among the crowds. Mm. So he tried to kill himself by sword, but that didn't work.
Oh.
Because they stole his sword or whatever. So he jumped off. He jumped out the window.
Got it.
Oh, shit. But as they quickly gave back, a space was made and he fell on the middle of his side. Still having breath within him,
Jesus. Oh God,
and being inflamed with anger, he rose up, and though his blood gushed out in streams and his wounds were grievous,
fuck,
he ran through the crowds and standing upon a steep rock, when as his blood was now well near spent, he drew forth his bowels through the wound.
Oh, my God.
What the fuck? And taking them in both his hands, he shook them at the crowd.
Oh, my God.
He pulled out his intestines. Is that what I'm to understand is happening this right is now?
Bullshit.
What the fuck? This needed a trigger warning. That's fucked up. Sorry, guys.
He stabbed himself, jumped out a window, ran up on a cliff, and pulled out his bowels?
Yes.
Fucking hell.
Threw the wound and shook them at people.
This guy is amazing.
I mean, Razzies, what the fuck? Why is he not an MCU superhero? He's the original X-Men.
I'll throw my bowels at you.
Oh my God. Calling upon him who is Lord of life and spirit to restore him again, to restore him these again. He died like this.
Okay, I mean, as you would with your bowels in your fucking hand.
He's, like, shaking his intestines at the crowd, and then he starts praying as he's shaking his intestines at the crowd. God, save me! Put my bowels back! And then he died.
Oh, my God.
I think God was, like, looking at him, like, with big eyes going, what the fuck? No!
I feel like if God were real, he wouldn't have let him go through all that shit.
Right?
Like, that's fucked up.
Holy moly!
That's not okay.
This guy, I forget the rest of the chapter. Oh my God. I mean, he pulled his...
It's fucked up.
I can't finish the sentence because I'm so flabbergasted.
You think we cover that bit in Sunday school?
I mean, they don't do the Macadoodles in Sunday school.
No way, yeah.
Well, I mean, I wonder if they do in Catholic churches.
That's what I'm saying, because it's in Catholic Bibles, so.
Like, I don't know.
Does Catholic Sunday school teach this bit?
Any Catholics that are listening, had you heard this story before? What do you make of it?
Because that's really fucked.
And were you impressed or appalled? Because I'm a bit of both, if I'm being honest.
I'm not sure how you make that kid friendly.
Wow. He pulled his butt through his tum-tum. I mean, that takes... I am ass backward to all new levels.
Yeah. All right. Yikes. Well, that was 2 Maccabees chapter 14.
Sure as fuck was. And
we only got one more chapter to go before we're done with all the chapters that we're going to read from the Old Testament.
Yes. And then we'll have a Q&A over Maccadoodles chapters 11 through 15.
Yeah.
And then I think we'll do like a whole Maccadoodle 1 and 2 kind of like, here's what happened.
And wrap up.
Like, here's what happened and here's where we're going.
Okay.
Like, just interstitial kind of, is that how you say that word?
I don't know.
Interstitial?
Sure. Just go with it.
Okay. And, and then we'll probably have an intro to the New Testament.
Yeah.
And then we'll start Matthew.
Okay.
Okay?
That sounds great.
Yeah.
We're going to be starting the New Testament soon.
I know.
We need to come up with like a revamped intro or something. I don't know. I like our intro. We need to come up with a revamped something.
I mean, I'll...
We're going to do something.
I'll sing something.
Maybe I'll put like a... I don't know. We'll see.
You'll put a what?
I'm just thinking. My brain's thinking.
Your brain is
thinking of stuff.
Not your bowel.
Not my bowels. I haven't got my bowels out yet.
Have you had a bowel movement?
That's personal.
I mean, this guy pulled his bowel movement
that right. His bowels through. Were definitely moving.
Wow, 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 wow.
All right, guys. That's all we got for today. Thanks for joining us, and we will see you next time.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end.
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.